So before we actually get to the, I know I'm kind of driving the person clicking the PowerPoint a little crazy, because I thought that before we got to the scripture this morning, we'd take time to introduce you to our missions team that went out this summer. And so if they could come up, and I'll introduce them. And as I had mentioned, we had gone on a missions trip. It occurred July the 15th through the 20th, and we're in a place called Burtonsville, Maryland. And as you can see, the theme of that week was grit. And so I'm going to just let them come up to the microphone and say their name for you. And then maybe if you guys want to sit in that first row so you can see the video that we're going to show.
Hayden Van Arsdale.
Taryn Oliveira.
Lydia Widbin.
TJ Oliveira.
Elizabeth Wimes.
Sarah Wimes.
Sam Oliveira.
Okay, and we also had Marissa Pino and Ryan Turner, and I think Marissa is coming to the second service, and Ryan is suffering for Jesus in Disney World. Or, yeah. Sorry, Disney. Disney. So, but it was a really, really amazing trip. We're actually going to start with a video that we put together that's going to give you kind of an idea of what the trip was like. And I have to admit that we didn't get nearly as many photos as we could, because some of the, honestly, we were just working so hard that it was so hard to kind of just stop and be like, oh, let me take a picture of this, right? But hopefully this gives you a little taste of what the mission trip was like.
Thank you.
As you can see, there's a lot of craziness that week. a lot of craziness, but it was such a special week, you know. Once again, the theme was grit, and I was sharing this earlier, but if you've ever been on a mission trip and haven't at one point wanted to just quit and go home, then you probably didn't go on a mission trip. You probably were just on vacation. And so we definitely encountered some really, really difficult things and some trying times that really developed our grit, you know. I didn't want to just speak about it, but I wanted to give our group a chance to share, because one of the greatest things about the mission trip was really that they pushed the kids forward to go and lead themselves. We were put into small groups of maybe five or six people. And well, the first thing that was kind of the craziest was we thought we were all going to be together and be like, yay, this is going to be a great St. Paul's bonding experience. We're all, the minute we get there, they're like, all right, you're over here, you're over here, you're over here. And immediately we're all freaking out like, oh no, they've separated us. But there was a method to the madness, and it really was beautiful, and it made the moments where we did get together at night to discuss that much more special. But I wanted to start by maybe giving these guys some time to think a little bit more about what they want to say. I'm going to share what one of our students that wasn't able to be here, one of the things that they wrote. He wrote this: this past July, I went on a missions trip with my youth group during our week of grit. We split up every day to do devotions, and before this, I had been a Christian my whole life, but I had never talked to God or really understood my own religion. I was barely a Christian. I had always just kind of believed in Christ because that's how I was raised. However, I finally felt a change and received the answers that I never knew I needed. When you're talking with Jesus, you're not physically talking to him. Even so, you can feel his presence. You can almost feel him sitting there next to you and listening while you bestow your anxieties upon the Lord. It's all quite incredible. After talking to Jesus, it changes the way you perceive things, and it opens your eyes, heart, and mind to all new perspectives. Even when things get hard and you face dark times in your life, Jesus can help guide you like the star of Bethlehem. All you have to do is believe in the gospel. I know it may sound cheesy, but God made all his children perfectly and loves them very much. He truly is amazing. So with that, though, that's just the tip of the iceberg of all the amazing experiences that we had. And I'll just share one of mine really quick, and then we'll open it up to our team. So Hayden and I were actually together at one of the sites, and we went to a nursing home. And so some of the patients had some dementia issues, but really it was just mostly physical ailments. And the one afternoon, we were able to sit in on an American Sign Language class, and there was a couple there that were not able to speak, and so it was just really, really amazing being able to sit in that class and ask them questions, and they were able to, we were able to sign things back, and there was one moment where the gentleman, James was his name, he asked me, like, what am I afraid of? And I said, me? I'm afraid of nothing. No. but then I was like, I'm afraid of snakes. And he showed me the sign for snakes, which is this. So I am afraid of snakes. And it sounds so silly, but it was such a beautiful reminder of how God is really longing to reset this world, to bring us back to a place. You know, the Tower of Babel was where humanity got together to kind of, you know, overthrow God, and so God confuses our language. And then we have the day of Pentecost, which we'll be talking about a little later, where God brings humanity together, and they're all worshiping him in the same language, or at least understanding him together. So for me, it was just one of the beautiful reminders of something that we have to look forward to. But our team has a lot to share too, so I'll open it up to whoever wants to go first. All right, Liz.
Alright, so as Hector was saying, we were all separated into groups with like different people from other churches that went there. And for me, I think that was like the most powerful thing because we got separated into kids just like us that, I mean, we have our group and fellowship here at St. Paul's, but like when we go to school, we don't have maybe the same amount of support and the same people going through the same circumstances as us. So to be there and be on the missions trip and see a whole bunch of more kids who are walking in the faith, it was just really encouraging to be with that, those many people, and that we get, I'm still in contact with the people that we met. And I think that was really cool. And it gives us a lot of encouragement to know that like we're not as alone. Like there's a lot more people out there that are walking the walk and of faith. And it was just really cool to see and meet more people.
So another thing that Hector had mentioned was that if you haven't been in, on a mission trip or you wanted to leave at some point, yeah, it's on a missions trip, because I had that first feeling when we got there. They're like, oh yeah, so we'll be showering outside and we have like schedules for it. And I was like, oh, that's going to be an interesting experience. So that at first I got all like flipped out about like, oh no, like when am I going to take a shower? Am I going to have time to shower? I'm just going to smell bad the whole week and that type of thing. But as like we continued on and we journeyed and like we separated, I found myself just growing closer to both the people that we had first met there and people in our group. I've hung out with Sarah recently, like just constantly now, which is another thing. Our bonds have grown really close. We knew each other before. We'd all talked to each other and been friends with each other, but we really grew closer on a spiritual level, which is good because you have someone to count on during times of where you may not know who to turn to. You know you have somebody who you can talk to that'll give you spiritual guidance.
Okay, well, being an adult, I thought this was more of a missions trip for the kids and not so much for me. But I quickly learned that I would also be doing the work and separated from the rest of my group, as well. It was definitely a very scary thing. I was working with one other adult and five other teens, two boys and three other girls who were all from different areas of the United States. So getting to know them on a spiritual level and having them open up to me was first a huge step. And then also coming back to the church where we laid our head at night, and then opening up to them and having them communicate and give their spiritual sides to back to me and the rest of the leaders was so touching. To speak with Ryan Turner at one point and having a one-on-one with him and hearing his words and how this trip touched him. Touched me, and he's not even my child, but like I said, getting to know each and every one of these children in our own group in another way, like Sam said, Sarah and Liz are now like a part of my family. I consider them my children. Sarah comes to my house on a weekly basis, It was all from that moment of being there. Like, I know God has touched my heart, and it was during that time, like, they were showing surrender, and we were each given, at one point in time, a little piece of white cloth, and they asked us to surrender, and then, in a quiet manner, to drop it off at the cross. and to give up something. Well, I didn't drop it at the cross. I brought it home with me. And that piece of cloth means more to me because I have a, I always had a church family, but now my church family has become more intimate. And to see tears coming from each one of their faces as I'm looking at them here, like, I feel their pain. I feel their emptiness, their, it was just such an incredible experience, and I suggest anybody who gets to go on a mission trip or even touched, when God touches your heart and asks you to go to missions, respond with a yes and just take that leap of faith and go. Because I thought, like I said, this trip was for the kids, and it wasn't. It was for me, and God wanted me to be there. And I feel so blessed that I said yes and took that step. So, thank you.
Well, good morning, guys. So I just wanted to share a little bit more about one of the specific places that we went to. As some of our youth have mentioned, when we got to the trip, we were split up into smaller groups. Fortunately, I was able to be with Sam and Sarah in my group, so I wasn't only with people from other youth groups. But we all, each one of our smaller groups, went to a different site each day of the week. We went to the same site, but there were multiple sites that different groups were at over the course of the week. The site that Sam, Sarah, and I were at was called the Wider Circle. It was started by a guy who noticed that there was a lot of poverty in the area, and one of the things we learned was that in most states in our nation, there's at least a 10% of the people are at the in the poverty area, and that's even it's a dated statement because with inflation and the rise of living costs, there are many more people actually who are living in poverty now. But our site, A Wider Circle, was started with that in mind. A professor at a nearby school visited a home, where a family of four was living on $12,000, which is way below the poverty line. And he noticed that, they had nowhere to eat dinner. They were sitting on the side of their bathtub eating dinner because that was the only place that they had to do that. They had just a few utensils to share among them and not much else in their house. So he started this ministry with a goal of giving these people who are making so little some furniture and some household items, and all of that is given for free to the people who meet those requirements. And I just wanted to read for you guys the quote that this ministry was started kind of as a benchmark. And this quote is actually one of Albert Einstein's quotes, and it says this: "A human being is part of a whole, called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space. But this human experiences himself, his thoughts and his feelings, as something separated from the rest, separated from that universe, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circles of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty." And it's interesting because as I was listening to some of you guys share, it seemed like a common theme for a lot of us was just the widening of our circles. Just that idea that, you know, sometimes we come here to church or we go to youth group or we go to our families, we share about Jesus, we share about what God's doing in our lives, and we come to kind of associate just those people with where God is working. And I for one, as I was feeling my own circle widening with these new people I was meeting, not only the people from the other youth groups, but the volunteers at our site, the staff members at our site, some of the people we were serving who were coming to pick up furniture, I was just kind of reminded that God's circle is so much wider than sometimes we feel it is. Sometimes we look out at the world, at our culture, and we kind of feel like here we are in God's circle and everything's pressing in on us and we make God a lot smaller than he really is. You know, it was really interesting for me because at our site, we didn't know who was a Christian. We knew that maybe a few people were Christians, but as I was looking around and just seeing all these people working for justice, working to end poverty in the state of Maryland, I was reminded that God's Spirit can move wherever he wills it to. And I think that can be a real comfort to us when we feel like we're all alone and we have to tackle these situations by ourselves and even the own problems in our life, to just remember that we're not alone, that God's Spirit moves in a very wide circle. And so that was one thing I took. Another thing, I just wanted to share a story from our site because it was a powerful story for me. One of the staff people was sharing about a family who had come, actually the mother had just come. She wanted to get some furniture. She didn't know if she would be able to meet all the requirements, but she came anyway. And she found out that she was able to get a lot more furniture than she thought. Not only furniture for her living room, but furniture for her bedroom, for her son's bedroom. And it turned out that she and her son, her 16-year-old son, their relationship had fractured and dissolved. And she no longer had a relationship with him. She hadn't seen him in I don't know how long. But when she found out that a wider circle was going to be able to provide furniture for a bedroom for him, she was able to call him up and tell him, and he came to the wider circle with her. They picked up the furniture together, and from there on, their relationship was able to be mended. She said that her home kind of became the place where he would come and bring his friends. And so I think it was an important reminder for all of us, sometimes in missions, you know, we're not going out and making eloquent speeches and sharing the gospel in a comfortable way for us. Sometimes we're down on the floor, you know, sorting books or putting puzzles together or, you know, just doing nitty-gritty monotonous tasks that, you know, we sometimes wonder, well, what is this going to accomplish? And I think, you know, that was one of the things I took away from that story was just that these simple things have a much greater outcome than sometimes we think. That, you know, a book, a children's book, which we were sorting, we sorted a lot of those over the course of our week, but a children's book isn't just a book, it's something that bonds a family together, and hopefully God willing can bond people to God, who is the source of all love. So this was a special trip for me. I wish I could share more, but I already feel I've taken more time than necessary, but thank you for your support. Thank you for all this church always gives to our youth ministry that enables us to do what we do.
So I went to a nursing home with Hector, and so something that really stuck out to me was we were painting pots and we were doing activities with the residents, and it was just really nice to see how much fun they were having with us, and they were really happy to see us there and helping them.
I also went to a nursing home, and it was an experience because there was a lot of different people from all different ages. Some people had Alzheimer's, and some people had mental disabilities, and yeah, that was our trip. That was my trip, and I had a good trip. So.
So as you can see, it was a really, really powerful trip. But let's take a moment to look at the scripture verses today. I'm not going to speak very long at all, but I just wanted to give you something to chew on that we kind of thought fit for the trip. So the first passage comes from John chapter 21, and we'll read a few verses in from 15 to 19. That's page number 1688, by the way. And the word of the Lord reads, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Now, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. And I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Let's turn to the second passage, which is 1 Peter, but chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And I want you to kind of note the difference here in Peter, right? The change that we see. Now he's writing to the church. "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also that what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So this idea of grit, right? Grit, you know, I was watching one of those TED Talks, and they had an educator talking about research that they'd done, finding out why certain students that had a similar background would still succeed with their education. You know, even students that came from like a really, really terrible background. And the one thing that they found over and over again was grit. This idea of hanging in there even when things are tough. And so when we look at Peter and the gritty commands that Jesus gave him, he gave him some pretty tough things. Put yourself in Peter's shoes for a second, right? Peter is already thinking he's kind of a failure and probably not the best one for the job. And Jesus goes, feed my sheep, take care of them. And he's like, Jesus, I can't even take care of myself. Are you kidding me? And you want me to go and take care of and lead your church, your body? You know, and so part of what's involved with grit and what God calls us to is to stretch us. You know, a lot of us were put in places this week during our mission trip where we had never experienced it. I think Liz and TJ, you guys had gone and worked at that nursing home that had people with severe mental disabilities, right? That was something that's like new, and that can be shocking and scary. You know, Taryn was picking up like large things of furniture, and I mean, she was not expecting that. And so grit, right? God is always kind of drawing us and stretching us to do things that are uncomfortable. And I think he does it because he really wants us to know that his power is working through it. And he loves that. Think about that for a second, right? Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one that's going to feed the sheep, right? He's going to be the one taking care of the sheep. But instead, you know, like the Holy Spirit can do it without us, but God desires to use us. We just have to be available, right? Jesus was saying to Peter, yo, get gritty. It's time to get your hands dirty, right? And then, you know, as the other command that Peter got from Jesus, that was a tough one, was Jesus said, follow me. Follow after me. You know, and look, Peter probably, again, he felt like a failure. He felt like he had betrayed Jesus, and Jesus was still willing to use him. You know, there could be some of you here that think, I don't have any skills. I'm not good enough to you know, lead anybody to Christ or you know, what can I have to possibly offer? And Jesus says, no. You know, he says, follow me. Follow me. Right? And so when we see all that, right, and we see Peter doing crazy new things that he's never done before, like preach in front of a bunch of people. This is the same guy that was afraid of a little girl. Now he's preaching in front of like 4,000 people or maybe more than that. Right? And towards the end of his life, he's writing this letter to the people. He's writing this letter to the church and saying, okay, you know what? I got gritty. You got to get gritty too. And so he gave us a couple things or a couple, you know, kind of exhortations as to how we could be gritty, right? He said by doing, by getting rid of malice and deceit and all that stuff, right? Get a spiritual spring cleaning, right? Sometimes you got to get in there and get that stuff out of there, right? So he encourages us to do that. He encourages us to go in further, right? To be that royal, that holy priesthood. And if you think about a priesthood in the Old Testament, that got messy, that got gritty. You know, they sometimes had blood on their hands from the sacrifices and you know, they were doing a lot of stuff, right? So they got gritty. And then finally, one of the ways that he encouraged us to get gritty as well was to declare God's praises, right? You church are a royal priesthood called to declare his praises. That's what we're called to do. And look, it's not easy. The showering out in the dark in a shower, that was a weird experience, right? You know, maybe interacting with people that we normally wouldn't interact with, it was stretching us. But in the midst of that, in the midst of like almost like a breaking point, we found some awesome blessings. So my encouragement to you as a church is the same encouragement that Jesus gave to Peter. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. And then finally, follow him. Let's pray. God, I admit, Lord, that I struggle with this, Lord. When you call me deeper, Lord, it's a struggle, God. I don't always want to get gritty, Lord. And I know that that's probably the struggle of most of us, Lord, but I pray, God, that you help us, Lord, to just let you lead us. lead us in whichever way you want us to go. And Lord, when we're afraid, we know that you're going to provide. You're going to give us what we need to be able to do the work that you've called us to do. Thank you, God, that you want to use us as imperfect and messed up as we are. Your desire is to use us. And for that, Lord, you deserve all honor and praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your holy priesthood, God. Help us, Lord, to declare your praises wherever we are. We give you so much thanks and praise, and it's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.